Timothy chapter 5, about half of this chapter is dedicated to instructions within the church family to women. And you can read verses 1 through 15. I just want to bring a couple verses out as the Apostle Paul was giving Timothy, who was a young pastor, instructions on how to conduct the church and what to teach men and women and boys and girls and senior citizens and all those areas that he covered. In verses 1 through 15 of 1 Timothy 5, a lot of it had to do with ladies, widows, young widows, how the church should treat them, young women, and so on. And this Mother's Day, I just want to pick out a couple of these verses. The first is in verse 7. It says, "And these things give in charge that they may be blameless." As he's talking about women's issues in the church, he says, "And these things, Timothy, give in charge." Notice the word charge, that they may be blameless. And down in verse 14, he says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan." And we see here a verse about motherhood on this Mother's Day Sunday that I'd like to focus on for a little bit. And notice that in the context, Paul is giving a charge. He's giving a charge. And I want to make 3 points today to mothers. I want to talk about a Christian mother and give some help for Christian mothers. I want to just give 3 statements that I hope will help those of you that are Christian mothers. Now, I realize not every mother is a Christian mother. There are some mothers today that are following humanistic advice, and there's not much I can do about that. There's some mothers today that are following feministic advice, and if that's what they choose to do, then that's what they choose to do. You certainly can't force anyone to agree with you or disagree with you or anything. But this is a Christian church here. And we are concerned about what the Bible says. And what I say today, I had no intentions of offending any ladies whatsoever. That's not my goal. My goal is just to help those of you that have chosen to be Christian mothers to give you some advice from God's Word, the Bible. And so I want to make 3 points out of the Word of God today to help those of you that are Christian mothers. And my first point is this. Number one, a Christian mother considers her motherhood a charge. A Christian mother considers her motherhood her charge, her calling. It is what God has called her to. To be a mother is as much of a calling as it is for me to be a pastor. It's as much of a calling as it is maybe for some other man to be involved in Christian education. It is much of a calling to you as it would be perhaps for some man to be called to be a missionary to some foreign country. You need to take very, very seriously your calling as a mother. A Christian mother considers motherhood her calling, her charge. This word charge is a powerful word. It's a word that was used by Paul repeatedly in his writing to Timothy. For instance, in chapter 1 and verse 3, he said that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine. In verse 18 of chapter 1, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, about his ministry. In verse 21 of chapter 5, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another. Chapter 6, verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus. So a charge is a very, very strong, a very, very powerful word. Sometimes if you've ever gone to an ordination service, you've seen a man who has been called to be a pastor maybe kneel down before the congregation and they lay their hands upon that young man or man and pray over him. And then someone gets up and traditionally gives what we call a charge. A charge being the strongest words that we can find for somebody to pay attention to their duty. And whereas this word charge is so often used by Paul about men and the ministry, here in our text he uses it to moms, about their calling to motherhood. And these things, verse 7, give in charge that they may be blameless. And he's talking here in the context of women and mothers and widows and so on and so forth. Give them a charge that women, that you might be blameless. And then he gives clear instructions in verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I want you to notice that little phrase there, moms, guide the house. Guide the house. The reason why God is depending upon you to guide the house is because of the truth we see back in verse 8, where it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now what this means is that the way God set up society to work, for the most part, God has ordained that the man be out of the house, providing for his house. He's out working. In fact, if he does not work, the scripture says right here, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It is his duty to provide for his own. Now, we know there are cases where a man is disabled, and we have some of those cases in our church, and he's no longer able to provide for his home, and maybe will never be able to work again. And then there's seasons of unemployment, especially in our country right now, where we're having some difficulties in the economic realm. I understand that, but eventually it is God's will for even the unemployed that he will open a door, even if it's through prayer, even if it's not completely desirable, to get a job and to provide for your house. This was God's intention initially. And for the mothers then to be at the home in verse 14 and to guide the house. Now that word guide is the same word. It's similar to the word that's given to a pastor in his charge to guide the church, to oversee the church. Mothers, you need to be the pastor of your children. You need to be the pastor of your children in the absence of your husband who's out there trying to earn and trying to work and trying to provide for the home. You need to be the pastor. You need to be the guide of your kids. Now, I know there's a lot of ladies today that are trying to juggle a career and trying to juggle motherhood. And that is not the intentions of the Word of God. And I know there's some times where a lady's got to work, especially if her husband is deceased and he can no longer provide, or maybe he has become disabled, or sadly in many cases there's divorce and desertion. Sometimes fathers just leave and run from their responsibility. I know there's exceptions. I understand that. There's the case of the desolate mom, maybe who never was married and had children and brought them into the world without a husband. I understand where there's times and where a lady has to work. But ladies, you need to recognize that if you are a mother, that is a high and that is a holy calling. And you need to guide the house, just as we expect a pastor to guide the church. You know, this week I had a pastor come to my office and talk to me for a little while, and he's pastoring a church down in the southern tier, trying to do a good job, but he told me about how the church cannot support him. And as a result, he is working 40 to 50 hours a week at his job. And he just says, Pastor, I'm so exhausted. And he says, I'm worn out and worn down. And he says, it's so hard for me to pastor this church and to do the job that I'm supposed to do and so on and so forth. And so we talked about some things, some economic things, see if things could work out or if the Lord was leading him in a different direction. But to make a long story short, that man, because he was having to work, and he was so exhausted physically from his work, was not capable to pay attention completely to his calling. He was able to do a little bit of his calling, but not give complete attention to it. And that's the same thing sometimes with moms. They have to go out and work, and they work full-time, part-time, and sometimes they get home and they're just so exhausted that it's very, very difficult for them to pay attention completely to their calling. And again, this is I'm trying to teach what the Bible's saying here, but moms, your children are your living legacy. They are your primary influence. A career is going to end when you end, but your kids are going to live on for eternity. And eternity is a long time. When you had a child, you did not just bring that child in to live with you for 16, 18 years or something. You brought into the world a living, undying soul that is going to spend somewhere for all of eternity in either heaven or in hell. This is what the Bible says. Our children are a living legacy who are going to live forever somewhere in all of eternity. And my message this morning is, moms, try to be as good of a steward over your calling as you can of your children, and guide them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and guide them in the principles of the Christian life, so that when you pass away, your life and your influence is going to continue on in those children, sometimes for generations. As they pass it on to their grandchildren and to their grandchildren, your life will continue to live on. And after you've been transported to heaven through death because of your faith in Jesus Christ, your life, your legacy, your influence will continue on through the kids. Don't overlook that. Don't take that lightly. Boy, we live in a world that's taking that so lightly today. And I know there's economic considerations and hardships and so on and so forth. But I believe in that our God is a powerful God. He's a great God, and He can enable this. And it was our choice. It was our choice in the Cole home that when we started having children, my wife would stay home, and we would trust in God somehow to make it on one income. And we honored the Lord, and we gave Him tithes and offerings, and the Lord never failed us. And the Lord did miraculous things for us, and she was able to be there and to be the influence while I was out working and in the ministry and so on and so forth. And I want you to consider that today. That is not preached very often in this world anymore, what I've just said. It's not preached much anymore. And I know every situation's different. I understand that. I'm not trying to be unreasonable. But I'm trying to show you what the Word of God says today, and I think it's God's best. I think it's the best thing we can do for our kids when mom's there to guide the house. I want to say number two, a Christian mother recognizes her need for help. A Christian mother recognizes her need for help. Number one, a Christian mother considers motherhood her calling. That's her calling. Number two, a Christian mother recognizes her need for help. Now again, I'm not talking to humanistic mothers. I'm not talking to feministic mothers. I'm talking to Christian mothers today. Number two, a Christian mother recognizes her need for help. She is not proud. She is humble, and she knows she cannot do this job on her own. And I want to give you three sub-points under number two here. I'll call them A, B, and C if you're the note-taking type. A, she needs God's help. A Christian mother recognizes, I need help. She's humble. She realizes that this task of pastoring these children that God has given to her, whether it's one or two or five or ten or eight or whatever, she recognizes this task is too great for her. And she needs God's help. She's very humble about this, and she needs the help of the Lord. Did you know that God can do anything? And God can help mothers. And mothers are so influential. You know the old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle controls civilization. And mothers are so influential, certainly God would want to help them. And God can help them. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 40. I want to give you moms a promise that you can hold on to, and I'll explain why after I read it. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, the Bible says this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Who? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God will give you literally physical strength to endure your calling. Can you imagine a pastor trying to pastor a church without God's help? Can you imagine that? He'd wear out. It would crush him. He's got to have God's help, and God helps him. You know, the same thing is true to those of you that are moms. God wants to help you as you pastor your little congregation of boys and girls that God has given you. He says that he will give strength. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. One of the things that I've noticed about motherhood is that it is one of the most physically exhausting callings, jobs, if you will, careers that mom ever calls someone to. It's not a 9-to-5 thing. It can really take a woman and just exhaust her, and there's seasons sometimes, especially when the children are young, where it's just exasperating. It's too much. And at first, when the kids are real little tykes, it's physically exhausting. But then as they get older into their teen years, it becomes emotionally exhausting. As you start to, I don't even want to use this word, but worry about them. And they become independent, and they're going to choose their own life pretty soon. And a mom's heart goes with that child. And I'm telling you, it's exhausting to be a mother. But there is a God that wants to help you. There is a God that if you'll meet him every single morning of your life, he will give you strength. He will give you wings. He'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. With God's help, you can be a good mother. And he can literally give you physical help. He can physically strengthen you. See, how does that work? Try it. Don't ask me. Try it. Meet God in the morning. Train your children so that they know, listen, now is the time when God, when mom spends time in the Bible, reading the Bible. And then mom's going to go and pray for a few minutes. And you just leave me alone. And you don't see if that'll help you every single day of your life when you ask the Lord to give you his strength. B, she needs her husband's help. She needs her husband's help. A Christian mother is not too proud to realize she needs help. She needs God's help, and she needs her husband's help. Men, we have got to be there to help raise our children. We have tremendous influence. In Proverbs 17 and verse 6, it says, "The glory of children are their fathers." For some reason, God has hardwired children as soon as they come out of the womb to look up to their dad like he's the greatest. And a dad needs to help his mom or his wife raise those children. She shouldn't be doing it alone. Dads, you have to have a heart for your kids. And I know when you get home, and I know this from experience, you're exhausted. All you want to do is sit on the couch and have a drink and read your newspaper and watch the news and watch the sports and kids, leave me alone, that type of a thing. But you got to change about that. You have got to be there to help your wife in rearing the children. You need to get mixed in there with your children, rearing them, teaching them, discipling them, and disciplining them. And there needs to be times where you give mom a break and you take the kids. One of the best things you'll ever spend on your children, Dad, is time. Time. You need to give your wife a break, and you need to take the children and do things with them. In the book of Malachi, chapter number 4 and verse number 6, it says this, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, I know humanistic mothering and feministic mothering says you don't need a dad these days, but God says otherwise. Those children need a dad, and they need a dad who is involved. And for those dads of you that are here, I want to say this with all the love of my heart. When you bring home the money, that is not the end of your responsibilities to the children. You have got to spend time with them. Don't be cold towards your children. Don't scold them. Don't be hard on them. Don't push them away. But you receive them. And you love them. The Holy Spirit-filled preacher John the Baptist would have a sevenfold ministry. And one of those seven things that he would emphasize in his ministry is found in Luke 1 and verse 17. It says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." Dads, you need the help. And moms, you need the help of God. And you need the help of your husband. And dads, you need to read to your children. You need to play with your children. You need to love your children. You need to be involved with them and take them to church and be an example to them. And don't let mom be the one that has to rear the children all alone. You be there for them. Then see, she needs her church's help. A Christian mom recognizes, I need the help of God. I need the help of my husband. I need the help of the church. I need the help of the church. The church is a supplement to your home. It is not a substitute. Do not send mixed messages. Have a Christian home and take your kids to a Christian church. That will then complement the home. The church does not replace the home. We are trying to help your children be Christians. Are you trying to help them be Christians at home? See, we can't send out this mixed message where our homes are ungodly and they're just sitting in front of ungodly Hollywood shows on TV day in and day out, and these ungodly video games and ungodly music and so on, then pack them into a car and bring them to a church, and they get a completely different message there. One of the faults that I have seen in some parents over the years is that they will hope the church fixes their kids. They will put them in Sunday school, and they'll put them in children's church, and they'll put them in the kids' clubs on Wednesday nights or the youth group or whatever, and they'll just kind of hope the church somehow miraculously offsets the influence in their home that has been ungodly. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. The influence of the home is much more powerful than the influence of the church. You have them for so much longer. But if mom can be a good Christian lady and dad can be a good Christian man and try to avoid hypocrisy. I know none of us can avoid humanity. But we can't avoid hypocrisy, and there's two different things. As I've said often, your kids will forgive you for being human, but not for being a hypocrite. Sometimes that hypocrisy turns them off so that when they come to the church, they just completely shut down. They don't hear anything. So I don't want to hear it. I don't hear it at home. It must not be important. That's how kids think, you know. Once in a while, a child rises above that, but it's pretty rare. The church, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Did you hear that carefully? The church is not the truth. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. That means it is the foundation and the pillars that holds up the truth. But it is not the truth. We hold up the truth here. Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. There is a principle in the Bible that will help you, moms. The Apostle Paul said, and it's in several places in the Bible, he said this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What does that mean? That means this, that if a kid hears dad say something that's the truth, then he hears mom say it, and then they go to church and the pastor says it, and then the Sunday school teacher says it, and then the children's church preacher says it, and then the youth leader says it. The more that child hears those things, the more the truth will be established in your child's heart. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so the church supplements your home. The church complements your home, but it never replaces your home. But it is wise to take them to church so that they can hear the things you're trying to teach them at home. And then pretty soon the kids start saying, boy, you know, everybody's telling me this. It must be the truth. It establishes truth in their hearts. And so be sure you're a church-going family, but be sure you're a Christian family at home. And if you're here today, God bless you, and you're a single mother, you say, well, I don't have a husband's help. Well, you still got A and C, amen? You still got God's help and the church's help. That's better than no help. And so take advantage of what help you have for you. I must hasten. Let me say last of all, a Christian mother recognizes her need for a strong faith. She recognizes the need for a strong personal faith in the Lord. I mean, you can control your kids for a little while, moms. But there's going to come a day when you're going to need something greater than your own control. And when you have to transfer them into the hands of God and trust in the Lord, you better have a strong faith right about then. Because they're going to grow, and in the natural tendency of their growth, they're going to become independent in their thinking, independent in their spirit, and that's just God preparing them for the day when they're going to leave the home. When he instituted marriage, he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And you can control them when they're little. Do you ever see a mom try to be a doting mother and control a teenager? Or get in their affairs when they're in their 20s and try to be a doting mother and see what happens? I think it's real ugly in a hurry. But there is coming a time when you're going to have a life of faith, mom, and you're going to have to put them in God's hands. And about the only thing left you can do is pray for them and hope you taught them well. Because they're going to find themselves, and they're going to find their own faith, or they're going to reject the faith, and they're going to follow your principles, or they're going to reject them, who knows. But you're going to need faith. In Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful to his promises. Sarah, this mother, judged God faithful who had promised. What do you think about the promises of God? It says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's a promise. Do you have faith in that enough to train up a child in the way he should go? Do you have faith in prayer? Do you have faith in the Word of God? Do you have faith in biblical structure and discipline? What about biblical discipline? What about when you read in Proverbs and it talks about the use of the rod, spanking the child? Feminist mothers reject that. Humanist mothers reject that. But they often end up with a lot of problems, discipline problems with their children. There's not a one of us that believes in abuse. If you abuse a child, I want to help you go to jail. I've done it 3 times so far. I don't care if you're my best friend. You abuse a child, I'm going to help you go to jail. But properly applying corporal correction, or what some people call spanking, is in the Bible. And that can be done in love. That can be done in a calm, controlled environment where the child knows exactly why they're being disciplined. And that child's not going to end up with all kinds of anger and aggression like the abused child does. That child's going to end up with the security in their spirit that they know where the boundaries are and they cannot cross the line. And that's going to give them the discipline and the character they're going to need for the rest of their life in deciding between right and wrong. Do you have the faith to believe that in a world that says that doesn't work anymore? You know, the world says a lot of the Christian principles in the Bible don't work anymore. But the Christian mother of faith says, I don't care what the world says. I believe God. And I believe the Word of God. And I'm going to scour this book as a mom and find out what God says. And what God says, even if it goes against all the wisdom of this world, I'm going to obey God. She must be a woman of faith. Ladies, study the book of Proverbs. Study the book of Proverbs. Over, read it over. It's just filled with wisdom for a mother and how to raise her children. You little girls, you teenagers, read Proverbs over and over and over again. You may become a mother someday. Don't wait to your mother and say, boy, I got to figure this thing out. Have some of it figured out before you start, before you get married, and then do it right from the start. You'll find out that it works. Let me just close with this example of faith and what I mean by practical faith. We live in a day and age when too many mothers are making gods out of their babies. I mean gods out of their babies, just worshiping their little babies. Big mistake. Big, huge mistake. That one is going to come back and bite you. Do you know what this Bible says every mother should try to make their child into? A servant. A servant. There was once this mother in the Bible who said to Jesus, I just got one little request for you. He said, oh yeah, what's that? Grant that my sons can sit the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand next to you in your kingdom forever. That's a little one. Was that all? Yeah, I just want them up there by you. Just want them up there. My kids ought to be up there. You read that story in Matthew 20 when you get home. We don't have time right now. Jesus switched that whole thing around. And he said this. He said, you know, in this world, he says, those that are great become the lords. They become the lords over people, the big shots, the big wigs, and so on and so forth. But not my kingdom. He said, my kingdom is going to be completely different. He said, the greatest person in my kingdom is going to be the one who's the servant of all. And I'm going to let my Father decide who's going to sit next to me on the right hand and on the left hand in heaven. But he said, you just try to make your kids into servants. Make them into servants. Don't build them up. Boy, you know, nowadays you'd think these little babies were Hollywood stars. They got cameras flashing on them. You know, 1 month old, their first diaper, their first puke, their first bottle, their first burp, their first this and this and this and this and this and this. And you just, the kid probably going to have eye problems, so many flashes. 1,000 pictures on the internet of their babies. Man, I just shake my head and say, what chance does that kid have of ever being a servant? When all the parents did was just worshiped him and worshiped him. You know what we did with our kids? First Sunday, we jammed them in the nursery. They survived that. As soon as they got old enough, we jammed them into children's church. Well, I don't like that. Tough. And here's what we'll do. You go there, and if you cry, we're going to spank you when you get home. And then we jammed them in their Sunday school. I don't like this teacher. Tough. There's a lot of things in life you're not going to like. You're going to have to get adjusted to. And then the next Sunday school, the next one, tough. Then the youth group, tough. I don't like it. Well, tough. We're going to the nursing home every Thursday night. Going to see a whole bunch of old people in wheelchairs and their teeth falling out and saliva all over them and their meals puked up all over their bibs and so on and so forth. And you're going down with us. You're going to play your instruments and sing and so on and so forth. Well, I don't want it. Tough. Get in the car. That's just how we brought them up. You don't always get what you want. Tough. We never taught them they were better than any of the kids in the church. We never taught them you're better than any of the kids in the neighborhood. We never did. We tried to teach them to have a servant's heart. They're now at their places of work and in the church, and they just do little things for people, for others. That didn't come back to bite us. It came back to bless our hearts. Blessed our hearts. You know where we got that from? We didn't get it from humanism. We didn't get it from feminism. We got it from the Bible. You want your kids to give you joy, teach them to be servants. Moms, you need to have faith in the Bible. The Bible says they ought to be servants. How can I make my kid a servant rather than some superstar? Got to have all the nicest clothes and sneakers and be in all the activities in town and so on. Make them a servant. Read Proverbs. Be a Christian mother. The Bible's the best manual ever written on marriage and child rearing. Nobody knows more than God does. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, a Christian mother considers motherhood her calling. A Christian mother recognizes her need for help. She's humble about it. She needs God's help. She needs her husband's help. She needs the church's help. And so she uses those things rightly. Christian mother recognizes her need for a strong faith, and she realizes God is the inventor, the institutor of marriage and the family. God knows, and I don't care what the world says and all the experts say about rearing children. I'm going to do things God's way. Now, bless, Lord, our invitation. And if anybody here needs to come to Jesus Christ to be saved, Lord, we pray. This morning they would help the mothers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.